I'm on record as saying, like, this injury is probably, you know, basically means that this is the last time that we're going to see Tom Thibodeau. And I really believe that this might be the last time we see this team together.
I just wanted to do it my way. When I had a pro who was sitting in
the next room.
Yeah, the next room.
It's the future.
Down and Distance. On WGNplus.com.
What's going on, everybody? It's your boy Jared Payton and my man Sean Davis, and this is another edition. I think the third edition of DAD. Am I right about that one?
Uno, dos, tres.
Uno, dos, tres. It is Down and Distance, aka Dads. Two dads talking about sports, life, and everything in between. A lot of stuff happened last night as I was laying down my son. I thought I'd get up around 9 o'clock and then go downstairs and watch some TV. I ended up sleeping till 1 a.m. and I wake up and I see the news about Derrick Rose and another knee injury. We're talking about that right knee, another meniscus. To me, it was scary. I couldn't go back to sleep last night. And Sean, it's tough, man. It's a tough blow on a guy that I feel like, being here in the city of Chicago, he has the opportunity and had the opportunity to be, you know, one of the biggest named stars to ever play here. And I always feel that there's a lot weighing on him as just being a young man in this city, also playing in his hometown.
Well, the amazing thing about Derrick Rose, and we'll let BC explain and expound upon this, man. A lot of people are arguing with me on this point. Everybody will talk about the Chicago Bulls during the Kirk Heinrich, Ben Gordon, Luau Deng core era, and they'll say that the Bulls were always a good team. The fans were always coming to the United Center. Derrick Rose gave the Chicago Bulls national relevancy again in the NBA.
It's that
the Bulls weren't relevant when it comes to the national landscape with that core they had previous to Derrick Rose coming here.
Oh.
When Derrick Rose got here, that's when everybody said, okay, the Bulls are spiking. We need to put them back on the radar for the national landscape of the NBA. And from that, it went to his MVP season, and then the season after that was the strike-shortened season. Of course, we know what happened going into the playoffs of Game 1, Philadelphia, and a blowout. You can argue about that. Should he have been in the game or not? At this point, it's irrelevant, but it's just a sad narrative to look at this shining star. At that point, to me, top three player in the world.
It's tough.
I'm talking about somebody that's gone from being one of the top three players in the world to possibly not being at that level ever again. And what he's going through mentally, I can only imagine.
Well, first,
because it took me to a mental place as a fan. So as the player, man, how do you handle that? Man, I'm done.
This guy is done.
Talk to BC.
Now, listen, done. First time on DAD Down in Distance that we bring on a caller, but a guy that knows a lot about this situation, covers the Bulls, covers basketball. You probably have read him in the Red Eye here in Chicago or in Slam Magazine, and a team blogger for NBC Chicago. My man also a basketball historian, man. When you talk about knowledge of the game, we're giving you guys a little present here. If you don't know him, Brian Crawford, also known as BC here on Down the Distance. BC, man, last night, this morning, Chicago, man, that first one of those commercials that, you know, they came out in return where everything was kind of a stop and a standstill here in Chicago. It feels like that again, you know, coming into this morning.
I mean, that's exactly what it was for me, man. You know, It's just not one of those things like you even want to hear or expect to hear. You know, like I got the email last night or whatever. And, you know, I normally don't even check my email like that. But it's just, you know, I just so happened to pick up my phone and looked at it. And I saw the press release and I was like, huh? Then, of course, you know, I go to Twitter and I see everybody talking about it. And it's just like, it's just extremely sad, man, because, you know, Derrick, playing, you know, he's playing really well. You know, he had the two games back after the break, or, you know, the first game back after the break where, you know, he didn't do so well. But, you know, he went into the All-Star break having a 30-point game. Like, you could see that he was getting his legs back under him. You know, he was getting the feel back for the game. And then for this to happen, it's just like, it's just devastating, man. Like, you don't even know what to say. Like, it just hurts.
Yeah, you know, BC, it's definitely tough. I've never had any serious injuries like that. When you talk about the knees, I've been around guys that had those injuries, and it does. It takes a lot physically on you, but also mentally. I always felt like if it ever happened again after the second time, it was going to be very, very tough mentally. And I, not just coming back, but BC, you have to – I don't think people understand how much weighs on Derrick Rose as a player, as a person, just of all the other stuff. I think people see basketball and they always think basketball. But on the outside of basketball, there's a lot of stuff going on. There's other contracts. There's shoe deals. There's a family. There's dealing with being a dad. There's a lot of pressure on him, and he's living in the city that and playing in the city that he grew up in.
Man, I said this last night. I said, you know, Derek carried Chicago on his back until his knees gave out. You know, like he really and truly wanted to, you know, win for his hometown. Like, this is his hometown team. Like, he wanted to be that guy to, you know, bring a championship to the city. And, you know, it's sad to think about it. Like, you know, he was almost there. You know, we had that one Eastern Conference Finals appearance that, you know, we lost to LeBron or whatever. But, you know, things were looking up. You know, everybody thought, like, okay, you know, eventually this is going to happen. And then, you know, the knee thing. And then, you know, the ACL, he come back in 10 games, he tears a meniscus and misses another season. You know, and really and truly, like, we've only had, what, 3 or 4 good years of Derrick Rose? That's it. Like, that's terrible to think about, man, especially for a guy that was the number one pick and playing in front of his family and friends every night. Those are the things that, you know, kind of grate on you as a person, you know, just thinking about it and you're not going through it. So you just, you know, have to imagine what he feels like.
The narrative where the media here in Chicago tries to pit the way Joe handles his injuries against how Derrick Rose has handled his injuries in the past. And just thinking about what's been tweeted out about Joe today not wanting to talk to the media. Talk about their relationship and the respect that Joe has for Derrick and, you know, how he's feeling today.
I mean, I don't even, you know, I never like when, you know, people try to compare, you know, what one person does from injury to next, because, you know, everything is, you know, it's not the same. You know, everybody's body is different. You know, every injury is different. You know, you can't compare plantar fasciitis or a sprained ankle to a torn ACL. You know, those two are just not, you know, it's just not the same thing. But, you know, as far as the relationship with Derrick and Joe, I mean, those guys are tight, man. You know, they came into the league as, you know, young players, you know, coming out of college, you know, used to winning, you know, used to playing winning basketball, and they've grown together as players, you know, and Joakim is one of Derrick Rose's biggest supporters. Like, you know, that guy, you know, loves him to death, man. And, you know, and they ride for each other. Like, their feeling is mutual. So, you know, I think it was tough on Joe because he feels so bad for Derrick, but it's also tough because, you know, Joe wants to win, you know, just like Derrick wants to win. And, you know, you understand that you need this guy if you're going to do anything. And for him to not to be on the court for any amount of time is, you know, just tough to think about. You don't even want to talk about it.
You know, there's something else floating around, and it amazes me. A lot of people have been talking about the tumultuous relationship between the guard packs, Tom Thibodeau moving forward. With all that being said, a lot of people are saying that Derrick Rose needs to step up, show more leadership, show that he has Tom Thibodeau's back in this situation when it comes to his relationship with guard packs. With that added pressure, or with people feeling like that's something else that he needs to do, what should Chicago fans expect from Derrick Rose being a max player? And what's going over the line as far as expectations for him?
It's never been his job, you know. I mean, and it's never a job that he's actually wanted. You know, even if Derrick were to say, you know, verbally support Tom Thibodeau, that may not be enough to keep him around. You know, I'm on record as saying, like, this injury is probably, you know, basically means that this is the last time that we're going to see Tom Thibodeau. Wow. Like, and I really believe that this might be the last time we see this team together. You know, it's like Derrick is on his third knee injury. You know, even if it is, you know, less severe than the last one, which kept him out this season, you know, it's another knee injury. You know what I'm saying? And now you got to go in a different direction. And, you know, as far as the Thibodeau thing, I always thought that, you know, it was championship or bust for him. Like, the Bulls had to win the title just in order for him to stay. And that's probably not going to happen, man. So this team is going to be shaken up big time, you know, at the end of the season and, you know, and whenever the playoff run is over, regardless of what Derrick Rose does or says, you know, moving forward.
That's crazy, because I actually saw you tweet that last night, and I'm like, BC, are you in your emotions right now? Like, you actually believe the Bulls brass is actually thinking, man, we need to part ways with Derrick Rose.
Not part ways with Derrick Rose, with Tom.
Yeah, okay. I saw that, though, BC, and it struck me because when I saw you tweet that, I started to really think, because there was always other stuff, as even with through the injuries, that you could kind of rest your head on as a Bulls fan and on the outside looking in. And we know this year defensively, it's not been the same Tom defensive teams that we've been able – that we've seen in the past. And so you're starting to really see a team that it is – it's like – this is like perfect timing, BC. If you're going to make a move to be able to blow everything up and figure out how to kind of let go Tom and go a different direction. I mean, I've had a hard time, and as a fan, you guys – can you tell me, has there been a time where you've seen a guy that a team has been so – so based upon, where you talk about every decision made to win a championship is based around, you know, putting these pieces around where it just hasn't worked out, like Derek. And it's been time after time. It's like any type of relationship. You can keep doing it and keep giving and saying, okay, hopefully next time. There comes a time where you start thinking it's time to move on.
I mean, you know, the closest thing to that, and, you know, this might sound crazy, was, you know, LeBron's first time in Cleveland.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just like, you know, the person that made the decision to move on was LeBron. You know, that's the only difference. But, yeah, I mean, everything hinged on Derrick Rose. Like, and we all knew that, you know. And, you know, as long as he's hurt and not on the court, the Bulls, yeah, they'll be competitive. They'll win. They might win a playoff series, but that's it. You know, that's as far as they're going to go. And, you know, they need Derrick Rose to get beyond that. And he just, I mean, his body just hasn't been able to hold up, man. And it's tough. Like, it's disheartening to even think that, like I said, this could be the last time we see a lot of these guys play together. I really feel bad for Powell too, man. Like, I can't express, like, obviously, you know, being on the Lakers, you know, wouldn't have been a good situation, but he had other options, you know, but
OKC,
he came here.
Yeah.
You know, he came here to play with Derrick Rose. Ugh. And now, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. So yeah, that really sucks for him too, man. Like, you got to you got to look at it from that perspective as well.
Talking with Brian Crawford here on Down and Distance, a.k.a. DAD. BC, it's funny, because I was driving into the city. Sean and I normally have our pre-show talks about what we're going to talk about on the podcast. And he hit me with one that just kind of smacked me. And I was like, whoa, it's time right now. Now you got Derrick Rose going down. He talked about Jimmy Butler.
Put up a shut up.
Wanted that max deal.
Put up a shut up.
It's put up a shut up time for him. Do you feel that way?
I mean, it's basically Jimmy's team now. You know, like, it doesn't even really matter, like, you know, what happens with Derrick Rose, you know, whether he comes back this year or next year, whatever. Jimmy is going to be the face. He definitely has to, you know, like you said, put up a shut up. I don't think that's going to be a problem for him. You know, I think this is a guy that kind of, you know, wants that opportunity. Like, you know, I think he was cool with, you know, being in the same kind of spotlight with Derrick Rose or whatever. But Jimmy Butler, he understands, like, this is probably his moment, you know, like, and I think, you know, he's a good enough player to be able to capitalize on that, man. So, I mean, I'm kind of excited because it does, you know, we get to see, like, how good Jimmy Butler really is. I mean, this is pretty much his time now. Like, you can't even argue that.
BC, being closer to Derrick than most people that cover the Chicago Bulls and knowing him a little bit better, in my opinion, he's sitting in the back. He goes through the procedure. You talk about the mental aspect and the mental anguish he's going to have to deal with. Do you think he changes his game plan where he normally looks forward to establishing his future and making sure his long-term health is better? Do you think anything happens to where he says, man, you know what? I have to be there for my guys this year in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that'll be this year. Like, I don't think, like, he'll miss the entire season. Like, you know, if it's not as serious as they say it is,
yeah.
Like, you know, if they have to take the meniscus out, I think he'll push himself to come back. Like, I really do. Like, I mean, just like we've all wanted him to be on the court these last couple of seasons, nobody wanted him more than him, you know? And obviously, you know, having to go through another surgery and, you know, the rehab and everything like that, that, you know, that all sucks. Like, that weighs on you. But, I mean, unless they go in there and they find out that it is that serious, I honestly think he'll come back. You know, I honestly think he'll push himself to come back, which is admirable. But, you know, again, you have to kind of get real about the situation. Like, yeah, if he does come back, how good is he going to be? You know, because he's still going to be starting all over again. You know, he's going to have to get his rhythm all over again. He's going to have to find his shot all over again. Like, everything, like, he's starting over from ground zero. So, you know, even if he is back on the court and that's good, you know, you still have to question just, you know, what kind of Derrick Rose are we going to get?
All the people that tweeted last year when he was out saying we're better without Derrick Rose.
Oh, they're not saying
that now. Where are they now?
They're not saying that now. I mean, because you look at the promise of what could have been. It's just been BC. It's a tough day for Chicago.
Messed up my prediction,
fans.
Too.
And it really is. You talk about the Kaner injury, and you look at Derek. I mean, two guys, in my opinion, when you talk about Chicago sports that you think of. When
the
you
Derek
think,
injury hurt worse, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, I think it did. But, I mean, you look at just what the opportunity to be able to have, I mean, the Blackhawks, man. And we're talking about champions. They've been champions with some of the core guys still. And he's a big part of that. It's for everybody who was talking about the Bears being horrible this year and resting their hats on.
But they've been through this. Johnny Toews missed like 3 weeks going into the playoffs
But right now we're talking about a guy, Kaner, who's
is pretty much going for the MVP.
Points. Yes, he's going for the MVP. It's no joke. So BC, man, as always, we appreciate you, and we'll definitely talk to you soon. All right.
All right, man.
All right, fam. All right.
Brian Crawford. BC, you know, he knows a lot, man. You talk about being close to Derrick Rose and to the Bulls. I really respect his opinion and his knowledge. A lot of people don't get that. So for everybody to get a chance to hear him on Down and Distance, you're welcome, because he's a very knowledgeable basketball historian.
The NBA, the last 2 years, in my opinion, has been robbed of great basketball and endless possibilities in the playoffs because of injuries.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely down with you.
And it's just amazing.
And it does.
The Miami Heat and the Chicago Bulls possibly going at it 3 years in a row.
Right.
For the Eastern Conference crown. Missing out on that because of Derrick Rose, Kevin Durant being out. Then you have Russell Westbrook being out in the playoffs. Injuries suck. They're tough. But this injury right here, I don't care what the Atlanta Hawks are doing. Everybody wants and is anticipating, once again, LeBron having to overcome the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, but it's just not the same.
And the narrative has just never played out the way the NBA and the way most NBA fans would like it to.
No, and it hasn't. And it's been – I feel bad for, you know, fans. I feel bad for Derrick Rose. I feel bad for fans who have always – I mean, that's something I always wanted to see. And in some ways you feel a little bit cheated, but you want guys to actually be healthy – to be able to see who's the best team.
Now, where are you? Because it might be different for football, but in basketball, he's played 30 out of 31 games. And most people believed he had gotten over that injury bug and gotten over the hump as far as being worried about his knees and the health of his knees. In any way, shape, or form, do you think the confidence of him performing and getting better, did it kind of cause the Bulls to fall asleep at the wheel as far as his health? And whether or not they should have been sitting him down, the second game of a back-to-back. Or, you understand? It's almost like a gift and a curse.
It is.
You're happy about him getting over the hump, and you're like, oh, man, he's playing back-to-backs.
Well, but hold up. But hold up.
Does
hold
it give
up,
you a false
up.
Confidence?
No. Let's go back.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the beginning of the season.
Right.
Because that was –
the plan.
That was the plan.
And fans got upset.
And fans were –
see, that's,
were,
that's the
fans
problem.
Were livid.
Livid.
Like, why is he not going and playing back-to-back-to-back? And so when I start thinking about the times of how things have happened, especially coming back from the first knee injury, how much were you pushing him and how much did fans want him to be on the court to going into – I mean, after the second one going, now you really have to be smart with how you are – pushing him right now.
I'm not comparing.
I know.
Everybody's talking about how great LeBron is playing right now.
Yeah.
LeBron, whether it was him, his people, Cleveland Brass, whoever it was, made the decision, I'm not feeling good right now.
We're sitting out
for 2 weeks.
I know that. I know.
And it was nobody in Cleveland said a word. Okay. National media didn't say a word. Anytime Derek chooses to choose his body over the team?
Exactly. And you know why? It'd be because it's the injuries over and over. So now people
cannot understand.
But people don't know.
LBJ has titles.
They don't know how to gauge it.
Yeah.
And as a person, as a fan, all you want to do is see your favorite player be out on the court, and you don't think about the other stuff that goes along with it. So where I was going with that last point was, after the second one, this year, we started hearing more about it. At the beginning of the season, it was a lot of the conversation. should Derek be doing? No, he should be taking up. No, rest him to the playoffs. It was a lot of conversation. Then, leading up to the All-Star break, after that game against Cleveland, everybody was like, yo, there was no talk about it anymore. Nobody was talking about should you sit him, even him playing bad, to now, okay, was this too much? Now I hear people saying, did you play him too much? Stop. Figure out what you want. I don't want to hear all these people on both sides of the fence. At one time, you're saying something, and on the other end, now that he's injured, now you're going, did we play him too much?
Yeah.
I swear, 90% of the conversations, even when on JHS that we had, were about he needs to get back out there and play.
Because he makes millions. He's a max deal player. Fight through it. Who cares about the rest of your life? That's
and
funny to me.
And I said, and
people that tell athletes not to care about the rest of their life.
They're crazy. But I'll say this. I was one of those people that thought that you had to be able to manage what he was going to do. I was fine with the nights in and nights off. But with that comes, you have to figure out how you're going to get back into
you have a roster that goes 10, 11 deep.
So why not use him?
Why are you putting a roster on the court
that
deep if you're not going to use
it? And we saw that from the beginning of the year.
Absolutely.
I thought that was going to happen.
That's the strength of your team.
Is Tom to blame for that? A little bit, not playing as deep as he could have.
That's accountability throughout that entire organization.
Okay, so you're just not going to put it on. Listen, I just think that you can't just sit here and blame one person. There's a lot of stuff going on in that Bulls organization. They thought that you can mask. And you guess what? You can mask things when you're winning, when everything is hunky-dory. But once things start, when a big thing goes bad, now where everybody starts to look and point fingers, that's when your dirty laundry comes out. Now it's time for the dad segment, talking a little bit about being parents. You got two guys that are, you know, dads, fathers, husbands. And on our everyday life, yeah, we love talking about sports. But also in sports, there is, the parenting comes in, too. And
Trying to figure it out.
And we know that there are people out there that are trying to figure it out, too, that have these problems. So we want to be able to address some of them, you know. One of the things that I always think about as a parent now, as my son gets older, Sean, is am I going to let him play all the sports? I mean, is he going to get a chance to play? You know, younger it's cool, but when he gets to high school, does he have to choose a sport? I remember being a junior in high school and going into my junior year playing football, my first year playing football, my dad looked at me and said, son, you can't play everything. You got to choose. Yeah, if you want to get a chance to get a scholarship, you got to be able to focus. That was his big word, focus. You got to be able to focus, son. And, you know, I was one of those guys that loved playing basketball. I didn't play baseball, but I ran track. I wanted to be a part of everything because, you know, back in the day it was about having that Letterman's jacket and having all the patches on there to show that you played every –
Did you have the hood? Did you have the hooded Letterman jacket?
No, I had the hooded one. I just had the straight with the leather sleeves and the, okay. You know, kind of old school, like fashion geek style. So, you know, I had to look fresh. But now I don't know if things have changed now. And I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do when Jaden gets of age. Do I tell him, listen, play as many sports, even in high school? Or do I have to make him kind of focus on just one lane, and this is what we're going to do. I don't want to be that.
That's the challenge, right?
That's the challenge.
Because you want to expose them, whether it's sports, arts, and any other thing you might want to involve them in as far as extracurricular activities. Get them involved. And then you start to see what their passion is, and then you start to see what they're gifted at. Once you identify that, you still allow them to grow, build relationships.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've seen, and my daughter is great in certain things, but she wanted to be involved in cheer competition on a national team, which included a lot of tumbling, and it's something that she's not naturally gifted at. So she had to work and persevere.
Yeah.
Learning how to get over the hump in certain situations when you just can't depend on your intelligence or your natural ability. How do I work through the situation? How do I push forward? How do I build my mind to say I can do this, even though everything else says I can't?
That's life.
And I'm happy that she has the coach that she has that continues to push her. And I'm happy that she hasn't given up. So with that being said, you know, expose your kids to as many things as they can be exposed to. And eventually, most of the time, they'll make the choice for themselves as they get older. I guess the right age, you're talking about Jaden, I guess the right age from a sports standpoint, by the time they reach their junior year, especially from a scholarship standpoint, there should be some focus on one particular sport.
But I feel like at a younger age, as these kids are growing up, to let them play as many things as possible.
Absolutely.
But I'm seeing so many parents nowadays.
I regret not playing soccer.
Who are focusing these kids at the peewee level.
Yeah.
And they're only letting them play one sport. It's just baseball. We can't throw too much because it's baseball. Where I feel like these kids at a young age need to be able to expose themselves to all the different sports. So to me, maybe sophomore, junior year is the best time to be able to focus because these kids have already had that time to figure out what their passion actually is.
Yeah.
And I think that's what determined and seeing when talking about your daughter, she knew what she wanted to do. There was an area that she needed to work on. If it means something to her, she's going to do that, and she did that. I feel like that's what the same thing with these young kids. If they love what they're doing, they're passionate about what they do, and they love the sport or whatever they're involved in, then if they're not as strong at one, they're going to work as hard as they can. As parents, I don't feel like we can. It's tough on us to push and say, you need to do this. My dad had a hard time, and I know he struggled with it because I was a knucklehead. I just wanted to do it my way. When I had a pro who was sitting in
the next room,
this is the way to do it. And he battled with trying to figure out how to be a dad and also, you know, wanted to coach me up, but also letting my coaches coach me.
The greater character and life lesson for my daughter over the last year and a half have been learned in failures.
Yes.
That's amazing. Because her natural ability is in the arts. She was gifted with that. She does that with ease.
Yes.
She does certain things that people aren't born with. People that can play instruments well, she just picks it up by ear. She doesn't have to, you know, be taught. She can listen to it, pick it up, and play it.
That's amazing.
That's a God-given gift. Everybody doesn't have that. But now when you come over into the athletic realm, you're not automatically gifted in that particular area. Now you learn different things and different characteristics and build, you know, certain principles in life and receive certain principles in life that you can now take back to the area that you're gifted in and will cause you to excel even further than you ever dreamed you could. And so that's why I say expose your children to as much as you can. Even if it seems like they're not good at it at first, don't be discouraged as the parent. Continue to encourage them.
Yes.
Encourage them past their discouragement, and they will get valuable life lessons that will bless them in other areas of their life.
And that's what even failure does for
you. Absolutely.
I mean, it. You talk about, I'm having this problem right now with my little guy. Everything's a race. I'm winning with my son.
I saw him running his 40s.
I'm winning this weekend. Running 40s in the hallway, going upstairs to take a bath. That's race. I'm winning. And I tried to tell him yesterday in the car. I said, son, it's okay. You don't always win.
Yeah, you don't.
I said, sometimes you're going to lose. And guess what? You learn from those losses. I said, so don't feel bad. And he just kept giving me the, I just said, son, you're not always going to win. And so having that understanding that you can, the things that you get from those losses and from your failures, it's something that we can all take in our walk in life. So
there's no W or L in competitor.
See, I'm telling you right now. See,
you just want your kids to compete.
You guys.
That's all.
You guys. You are getting all this for free on WGNplus.com. I mean, this is, some people have to pay for stuff like this. So I hope you guys enjoy. This is DAD Down in Distance. Sean Davis, Jared Payton. We're here. Now we're gone. Peace.